Captain's log, Stardate 44741.9. With the perverted exploits of Lieutenant Reginald Barclay behind us, the Apocalypse Video Trekcast can now move on to Season 4 of Star Trek The Next Generation, with Episode 20's Cupid. To say that I'm a little worried about the return of everyone's favorite omnipotent trickster would be a massive understatement. What will Q bring us this time? Pig-faced soldiers armed with muskets? An impromptu appearance from a mariachi band? Or perhaps the horniest episode of TNG that we've seen to date? I await Q's appearance with bated breath.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Q returns.
I have a debt to repay.
He's turning Picard into the Prince of Thieves.
You're Robin Hood.
And forcing him to play a real-life game of survival.
This is not a mission. It's personal.
Should have left while you had the chance.
It appears there's going to be a double execution.
Medieval Trap next time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video Trekcast. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Michael.
Bonjour, mon capitaine. I think I've said that like every one of these.
It's now your signature. And Jackie.
I'm jealous that I didn't have one that I did all the time.
I think you said Imzadi something.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Imzadi. What's up?
And do we have an Imzadi in this episode? I think so. A little Imzadi love triangle, perhaps. Well, not a love triangle. It's a line. It's Picard and Vash. So
well, we can get into this of the presence of Q, but this is, you know, it's a horny episode. In many ways.
Horny. Probably our horniest episode yet. We are talking Season 4, Episode 20.
Blaze
Cupid.
It.
What?
Blaze It?
Oh, yes. Yes. Season 4, Episode 20, Blaze It.
Yes.
Cupid.
Cupid. Q comes by with a bong.
I was about to say this is our first Q-centric episode, but that's not true. Episode 1 was technically kind of Q-centric.
Like half Q.
Yeah. This one basically follows an episode from Season 3. I think it was called Q Who. Where Q loses his powers and the crew of the Enterprise kind of helps him. He ends up getting his powers back. And in this episode, he feels indebted to Picard for that event. Like, I want to pay it back to you. Let me do something for you. This has been eating away at me. And we find out that Picard has had a adventurous relationship with one Vash,
yes.
Also in Season 3.
This also comes after, yeah, the Risa episode, which is also a very horny episode.
Well, if Risa's in it, it's going to be horny.
It's going to be horny. yeah, I love the Risa episode because it's so silly, and it's similar to this one of It takes such pains to emphasize Picard as like a huge dork, but also like quite sexy.
PJs in this episode.
Lots of low cut Picard looks. Lots of chest hair coming through.
Yes.
And I, for one, am a fan.
Risa is like a canonically like a pleasure planet, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Like in the show, like the pleasure planet?
I think they probably say the words pleasure planet. At least like, yeah, planet-wide resort with like perfect weather and babes walking around in swimsuits, and you put up a little statue to let people know you're DTF. And
the setup of that episode, Picard's like, I don't want anything to do with that statue. No.
Picard is like begrudgingly sent on a vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Riker's yes. like, hey, can you bring me back a little, whatever the
Riker's
statue's
like
called?
Too into Risa. He's yeah, like, he's too.
Riker, we see go to Risa on like multiple different episodes. But that's how Picard and Vosh meet on Risa. There's hijinks, you know, all around, but
archaeological hijinks.
But there's also the setup of Picard like unknowingly displays the down to fuck totem, and then long story short, he and Vosh go on an archaeological, you know, little adventure, and they do have sex in a cave.
They have an Indiana Jones like escapade.
Yeah. Which is the setup for this episode where she comes back. Picard. So the episode begins. Picard's really stressing about this lecture he has to give on Tagus 3, which is this alien planet with like this crazy rich architectural or not archaeological history. No one's been able to go there for like 1,000 years, and he's really stressing about his notes. He's
the
just like,
oh, speech.
That's gonna my speech. There's gonna be people like so and so and McFarlane and these guys, giants of the archaeological world, and I'm just an amateur. So
man,
he's stressing
like,
about
you
this.
You got that like word for word.
Yeah.
Felt like Picard was
so
in the
and
room.
So.
It's yeah, he's stressing about the big speech, and then who's here with the council but Vosh, that old
so-and-so. I noticed
so-and-so.
You put the DTF statue outside your quarters.
Hey.
But my favorite part about the scene is he goes, how did you get in here? Oh, never mind. Let's do it.
Yeah, he has a look of like, how did you? And she's just like, but what if we kiss? And
was
then
that,
they do.
Was that what
the statue
he picked
yeah.
up? Oh, wow.
He sees it. He's like, wait a sec.
Oh,
and then she
made that connection.
And then she's
about.
There
wow.
to be like, hey, stranger.
Yeah, he walks into his quarters and it's like all the lights are off and there's like a spotlight on it. I wonder if she brought that.
She set up this elaborate lighting situation.
She said, computer, set lights to sexual.
I did not make that connection at all. I honestly, this is embarrassing now that we have the context of the statue. I literally thought that she had put like, you know, some archaeological find she discovered.
That's
like,
what I
know,
thought too.
And it's something that Picard would have been like, oh my God.
That's
look at
not,
it.
You're not like crazy off base though, because again, like it's already been established that Picard is a fucking nerd and you can seduce him with
artifacts.
His nerdy
artifacts.
Interests.
Yeah.
It's worked exactly. before, it'll work again.
Only in this instance, this artifact, like honestly, like now that I know the context of that statue, which is a down to fuck statue, like I honestly, my first thought was like, now I'm recontextualizing that moment. Now I'm thinking when he picks up that scene, it's like that moment in Mel Brooks's History of the World when like the guy slowly gets a boner, it like unfurls. like that's just the picture, the image I have with Picard, like, oh now that actually explains that scene better, because that was the first thing in my notes where I'm just like, how does Picard, I mean, I know him and Vosh have a history together, they have a sexy adventurous history, but even still, he is the captain of the Enterprise, he is in uniform,
he's at work.
He may even still be on duty for all we know.
Well, they say in the scene preceding that where the opening scene, Troy is saying like, hey,
anxiety,
it's really
relax.
Late, like you you've gone over your speech like 100 times, like X, what you get some sleep for the big conference or whatever.
That's right. So he's off duty.
So
but
he's off
still.
Duty, but it is a like he,
it's a breach.
You know, she's Vosh. They immediately start making out. And then the next time we see them, it's coming through. Beverly comes through to be like, oh, well, the captain and I have tea in the mornings often, which to my mind means they have been fucking all night. And
no, well, it's always like, it's like the Monty Punny situation. Like, did they or didn't they? I contend that they did not. They want to, but Picard is bound by honor. He's like, no, you and my friends.
What do
you
mean he's bound by honor? They already have.
They've already hooked up. They're gonna have another little like friendly hookup. Okay,
it's not like
they
he
just
doesn't
made
take an
out
oath
all
of celibacy.
Night.
No, I'm talking about with Beverly. Haven't gotten together
not
yet.
Not with Beverly, but with when
with
Beverly.
Vash, definitely. Oh, yeah.
When Beverly shows up, she says, like, oh, we have tea in the mornings, meaning like it's morning. I mean, time's made up on the Enterprise, obviously, but like, the last time we saw it was night. Now it is morning. What have the captain and Vash been doing all night?
It would have been even better if Picard, because we see in the scene, Picard is in his uniform. Oh, actually, that could suggest that he never. Oh, this could be a situation.
He's
wearing the same clothes from last night or something like that. But no, he's wearing his uniform. It looks very clean. I would have preferred it if he was wearing his PJs. That would have been really cool.
Yeah,
he
should have had some like disheveled PJs.
Yes. That would have made the scene even better when she walks in. Beverly's just like.
Because Beverly comes in her like casual blue sweater.
Giant
big
blue
old
sweater.
I would have liked to see some casual Picard, but of course this episode is all about how straight-laced he is, you know, in front of most people, as opposed to when you can get him on a sexy adventure.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry I'm late. Oh. Excuse me. I didn't realize you had company.
That's all right. Allow me to introduce you. This is, Beverly. Dr. Beverly. Dr. Beverly Crusher. This is, Vash. She's a friend of mine from the Archaeology Council.
I didn't mean to interrupt. The captain and I often share morning tea together.
Yes, I know. Jean-Luc has told me all about you.
Really? When was that?
On Risa, where we met.
I see. Well, that must have been during your vacation last year.
No. Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't mention you.
So am I.
And and for the first half of this episode, he spends the entire first half just like basically, you know, Neo Vaj, not now, I'm on duty. And he spends the whole episode basically trying to like... basically just giving her the cold shoulder, essentially. Like, you know, she's on the bridge at one point.
He doesn't want to acknowledge his feelings in front of his crew.
Well, exactly. He also absolutely cannot handle the intersection of work and horniness, unlike a lot of people who work on starships.
Mm-hmm. Riker.
Riker embraces it.
I mean, and to say nothing of good old Captain Kirk, but...
Barkley.
That... guy. But when Vash shows up, this is something that I've been going back and forth on, because she shows up and she's like talking with everyone and finding out that like Picard told no one about their little adventure. And I like Vash's characterization as this kind of like trickster, con woman, you know, fun loving gal, but I don't necessarily buy that she would be upset that he kept their little romp a secret, but I guess the setup of like, oh, I know how to have fun, what, you don't? And he's like, no, I don't do that here. But even so, it feels a little like, why would she be so upset?
Yeah. And there's a really funny scene on the bridge when she kind of walks in and Worf is just like, what the hell? Like, you are not supposed to be on the bridge. And Riker's like, hey, man.
She's a guest.
Chill. She's a friend of the captain. You know what I mean?
Riker has already hit on her.
Oh, God.
Eternity has never looked so beautiful.
It's like his horny senses kick on. Like, as soon as the door opens and she walks in, he's like, bloop, his head bobs up. He's like, ooh.
Yeah, his ears stick straight up.
Seriously, and he has fuck eyes. Like, his eyes turn like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, God, Riker, stop.
God, Riker. I like that scene, though, when Vash is like, oh, I know who you are, with the implication that, like, when they were fucking in the cave, or might have before the cave, but
Picard was talking shit
on Risa. He's like, so this guy Riker, he's always like,
let me just say, if you ever come to the Enterprise, you'll know Riker because he'll be the one hitting on you.
He'll be the one trying to get in your pants.
Never looked so lovely.
She'll use a line like, eternity never looked so lovely. She's like, oh, that's funny. And then she meets him. She's like, oh my God, he was totally right about you. I've heard about you.
Eternity never looked so lovely.
Excuse me?
I was referring to the view. Eternity never looked so lovely.
You must be Commander Riker.
I'm afraid you have me at a disadvantage.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I believe you were about to tell me that my eyes are as mysterious as the stars.
You're Betazoid.
Not at all. It's just that Jean-Luc does a very good imitation of you.
He does.
Hmm. I see you two have met.
Not exactly.
This is Vash, a member of the Archaeology Council. And a friend of the captain's.
So I gathered.
They met during his visit to Risa.
On Risa? That vacation must have been better than he let on.
So he just gets shut down immediately, which is arguably one of the best moments of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to, I wanted to mention too, with when Beverly comes in to Picard and Vash having their breakfast, and Beverly is immediately like, what's going on? She's kind of stirring the shit, but she also like clearly just loves the like the gossip of it all, where she's like, my god, let me show you around.
Yeah, there's like the whole like you never told me about him, Picard.
Yeah, never heard about
him.
Oh,
you didn't tell him about me?
I almost got a vibe, and maybe this is sort of influenced by my knowledge of like the rest of the series and how the crew feels about Picard and whatnot, and later episodes where Picard has romantic relationships. But I almost got a vibe from Beverly where she was almost like, obviously, yeah, she's into it. Like it's gossip. You know, I think that's probably the primary thing she's feeling is, ooh, gossip. But I also get a sense where she's almost just like, well, good for you, Jean-Luc. Like, you need to get laid a bit. You know what I mean? Like,
that,
you're so stuck up.
That is kind of the vibe of everyone, when Vash gets to the bridge, Riker's like, oh, this is a guest of the captain. And he and Worf kind of both look at Vash
really?
Like, the captain fucks? Oh, my God. Good for you, buddy.
And then she gets into the captain's chair. She's like, ooh, is this the chair?
Yeah, she's got, like, her feet up. She's, like, feeling on the chair.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, that's when Picard walks in. And he's just like, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do.
Is this where Jean-Luc sits?
That's the big chair.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see where being a starship captain has its rewards.
I'm glad that you approve.
Suppose I'll go back to my room now and get ready for the reception.
By all means. Well, I suppose I'll see you then.
I look forward to it.
What does he say? He's something like, oh, you like it. You know, he doesn't know what to say. He's all flustered. But this is where Q comes in. Q realizes, oh, okay, so you're having a hard time, you know, sharing your, or, you know.
Well, we haven't even seen Q yet, right?
Yeah, Q doesn't enter till like 15, 20 minutes in. And he shows up in the ready room. And he's just like, sup, Jean-Luc?
Hey, he's got his feet up on the table.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, listen, dude, I read your speech. Oof.
So you're still a nerd, I gather. Anyway,
I like how he's like, I could help you with your speech. I'm like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, he's like, well, I could edit if you want.
Well,
like,
he offers to send him to the first, because this whole thing is like, it's blocked off. No one's been able to go to it. And he's like, I could take you there. And Picard
is like,
all
years ago.
Well, Picard is all honorable, and he's like, it's prohibited to go there. And so Q's like, yeah, what if we could go back 2 billion years?
Yeah, I can do anything.
And I love how Picard plays. Like, you can tell Picard is like,
oh, he's interested.
Really wants to say yes.
But he's just too moral.
And he also probably knows Q is like going to do something weird.
Yeah, there's always like
he's not just going to like send
the other the other shoe to drop with Q antics. But he is, yeah, the look on his face is like,
oh, I forgot to tell you there was no oxygen 2 billion years ago.
I got you now, Captain.
I got you, Jean-Luc.
Having trouble breathing, Capitan.
You didn't wish for a helmet.
You didn't wish for a helmet.
He would. But he's also like, that scene ends. He's just like, ugh, just let me make this up to you, whatever. And then Picard is like, so Q's back.
Yeah, no, this is fun. So this is 4 seasons in, and I think I want to say season 3, the Q episode prior to this, was sort of the first Q episode where Q he's not as menacing anymore. He's more playful.
Yeah, ends up in that episode where he loses his powers. It's like I feel like the first time we really see Q as like low status.
Yeah,
and the opportunity for like everyone on the Enterprise to be like, this fucking guy, like Worf tells him to die.
A lovable trickster from season three on. Whereas in the first two seasons,
he's an antagonist.
I'm putting you on trial for the crimes of humanity, and then later on, he's just like, here's the Borg, deal with it, you know.
Yeah, he like sends them to the Borg, but then by season four, he's like, hey guys, what are you up to?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice speech, not.
Which I kind of like. Because, like, if you have a character like that, an omnipotent god being that can do whatever, it's like, how many times can they get out of situations like that with a character like that that can do anything? Like, you make that, I feel like you gotta sort of, I don't want to say depower, but you know what I'm kind of saying? Like, you sort of have to bring his danger level down a bit.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's just ridiculous. It's like, how can they possibly get out of these situations every time?
Yeah, if he remains, like, a straight antagonist, then it doesn't make sense to be like, how would they defeat the omnipotent, like...
who can do anything.
Demigod.
And in that sense, I feel like it would make his character even, dumber and even more less threatening if he still remained, like... a pure antagonist, yet they still got out of these situations every time.
Yeah, it's so much more. Is there so much more to do if he's like not quite an ally, but like he's more neutral and just having fun?
Yeah, and again, I think, and I feel like I'm not the only one here. I feel like this is a pretty popular opinion, but I feel like for the most part, the Q episodes, as far as the fan community goes, are pretty well liked. I feel like those are like high points in the series, typically. Are the Q episodes? They're the really fun ones.
What about this one? Like, do you think people? This episode is so weird. I can imagine.
Said, Q doesn't come in until fairly late into the episode.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably not halfway into the episode, but like a third of the way through, and it's pretty much just like archaeology talk and like basically like act one of like an Indiana Jones movie is kind of going on.
Well, it's the setup before Q enters is like, let's get into Picard's romantic life, which I gather a lot of more boring Star Trek fans don't like, which I completely disagree with. Like, I'll take any episode about Picard being like, I can't do this here. I can't show. And like that's what I'm very much about.
Just because I don't show my emotions to my crew doesn't mean I don't have them.
Like, and then it becomes a Q episode. And then it becomes halfway through when we get to the dress up of it all. It's a dress up episode, which is my other favorite kind of Star Trek. silly costumes and the location shooting, like, I'm fucking here for
this. Is one of the episodes of the types of episodes of Star Trek, like, dress up's a good way of putting it. I feel like there's episodes, and maybe they actually did this back in the original series, but there it's like every once in a while Star Trek is like, what else is in the studio lot? Like,
absolutely. TOS was so much like, well, we've got this, like...
We have a gangster set.
Can we do something with that? We've got the cars. Like, that'd be cool. There are so many dress-up episodes in TOS, and most of them are, like, really fun. And that's something that I'm going to say the more modern Treks have left behind to their own detriment.
Well, they had a little more money, so they didn't have to...
they didn't have to just go through the costume closet.
But having said that, this episode, when it ventures... So basically, if you haven't seen the episode, Q, Picard's just like, I relieve you of your thing. Like, I don't want you here anymore. I can do this myself. And then Q is just like, what does he say? He's just like...
Well, he peeks in on Vosh and Picard having an argument because Vosh, as this like con woman type,
literally peeks in.
Is the Q peekaboo is so good, the technology on display. But so Vosh, as she is the first time we met her on Risa, is a little underhanded, and she's looking out for number one, and I mean herself being number
one.
She's gonna
do some digging on Tigus.
Yeah, she's gonna do some like illegal shady shit because she does that kind of stuff.
Like an illegal metal detector.
Yeah, and
Picard, and a shovel.
Picard,
You brought your shovel and metal detector.
I can't believe you brought the shovel. It's just right here. But Picard, of course, is so moral and is like, you. I can't let you do that. That's not how we do things on my ship. And, you know, she, Vash, who is already kind of pissed off that, you know, this isn't the adventurous, sexy Picard she met on Risa, is like, well, I guess we have nothing to talk about then. And Picard's like, I guess not. And of course, Q sees the whole little spat and realizes
he basically
comes in
and goes, ooh.
But doesn't he? This is when he pokes his head through the wall.
He pokes
right?
his head through the yeah. wall upside down and then appears in Picard's bedroom when Picard is getting into bed in his sexy little PJs.
I want those PJs, by the way.
It's a good look. But yeah, Q is like so excited to discover the horniness of Picard and has that line where he's like, if I'd known that you were horny, like I would have first appeared to you as a woman, which reads,
oh, yeah.
which again, reads
I think that's
me,
exactly what he says.
Those are the word for word, which does in my mind make this not quite a love triangle, but like throws in some complication there where like Q is not human, obviously. And the only reason he's ever appeared to the Enterprise crew in that form is because he was trying to. What was it on the pilot episode? He shows up in like the.
As a snake form or something?
No, he shows up in like several different iterations of like what humanity looks
like. Oh,
like
Napoleon.
Remember
the
outfit for the
General.
Eugenics Wars?
Yeah, the Eugenics Wars outfit. But he is, he's appearing before humans, so he's appearing as a human would. And the fact that he appears as a man is completely arbitrary and just, you know, what casting is. But he himself is saying, like, look, I'm an omnipotent whatever creature. I don't do human gender. But if I'd known, I could have, like, manipulated you better as a woman. Damn it. I should have done that.
I honestly, I like, it would have been great if there was a little audience being like,
ooh. Yeah, there should be a live studio 90s audience for that moment.
You must be very bored, Q. Your imagination is running away with you.
This human emotion, love, it's a dangerous thing, Picard. And obviously you're ill-equipped to handle it. She's found a vulnerability in you. A vulnerability I've been looking for years. If I'd known sooner, I would have appeared as a female.
But yeah, and then it's at that point where Q is like, oh, like, I could solve your problem right here. Like, I could just, like, smite that lady and get rid of some of your problems. And Picard
doesn't
is like...
Doesn't he say, like, I could turn her into a lizard?
Something like that. And Picard's like, no! And
don't you hurt her!
And Q then is like, okay, weakness. And then we get into the Robin Hood of it all.
Yeah, and then Picard goes to give his speech.
His big speech!
Mystery.
Mystery. Like, he's about to start talking about Dixon Hill.
I'll be honest, when he starts giving his lecture, I was enraptured.
I was ready to learn. I was
kind
of like,
about the mystery.
It's funny that we don't learn anything about this, like TARDIS 3 or whatever. But yeah, he's like, his speech sounds interesting.
It was like
there have been 740 known excavations of TARDIS 3.
47 of those expeditions. Like, yeah, he's gearing up for his speech, and then our good old bridge crew in the background. Oh, what's going on here? Oh, silly hats are appearing. silly costumes. Data's got a turkey leg. What's going on?
Well, isn't he about to say, he's in like the Friar Tuck outfit, and he's about to say something, and then the chicken leg appears. He's
it's like a reveal,
oh, no.
If he lifts his hand up, he's
yeah,
like,
he
what?
Lifts his hand,
I'm holding
like,
a turkey
what?
Leg.
It's very like Looney Tunes.
It's yeah. incredible.
There's a lot of Looney Tunes in this episode as gets along. But yeah, and then the final outrage, Picard turns into Robin Hood in front of everybody.
In front of
and
the whole
then
conference.
Then he zaps
the
him to Robin
what
Hood.
What the man. Hell? And then we go to Nottingham Forest.
What's funny about this whole Robin Hood scenario
called?
That Q gets up, and of course Vash is made Marian, and Picard has to save her as Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. But what's funny about this whole thing, like I really got the sense based on like the level of the sets And the acting on display from the Q-generated Robin Hood characters is that it felt like a cheesy, like, 1930s style, like, serial version of Robin Hood. You know what I mean? Like,
from the set.
Yeah, it felt like they were definitely aping that. It had a certain style to it, like the over-the-topness of the character. It certainly wasn't Robin Hood Prince of Thieves from Kevin Costner. They weren't doing that Robin Hood.
Yeah.
They were doing old-school Errol Flynn Robin Hood. And I like that. Straight down to the like, their costumes are, they feel very stagey, you know, like yeah, a stage production of Robin Hood.
Totally.
The unsubtle bright colors.
Yes, bright.
The tights are so good. I've obviously got to shout out. Yeah, the swashbuckling. I got to shout out particularly Worf's stupid red outfit.
Oh, my
Worf
God.
Worf with the most iconic line of the episode.
Sir, I protest. I am not a merry man.
Like, come on. This is perfect television.
Dude, that moment when who is it? It's a guy of Gisborne, like, rides up in his horse and he pulls his sword out. I love that moment where, and this is like classic Worf. He pulls his sword out and just charges
just
at him.
But
the problem is he looks so uncoordinated with the sword. He's just like, he looks like a spaz, and he just starts like, gah, gah, gah.
He's used to it. Klingon weapons, of course.
Yeah, there is just no finesse with Worf and this sword. He just like over his head runs at him like, ah.
He just whacks at him
like he's using a baseball bat, not a sword. He's like, gah, gah, gah.
God, it's so good. Worf's got this sword he doesn't really know how to use. Troi
not
has a bow and arrow that a little later in the episode she doesn't know how to use. She shoots Data.
That's the funny thing. I feel like Worf is real, out of all the bunch, like, Riker seems mildly annoyed at what's happening, but Worf is the only one out of everybody that is, like, genuinely like, I don't want to be here again.
So
I hate this
pissed.
Damn UQ. Everyone else just seems sort of just like, hey, this is kind of cool. Like, especially Geordi. There are certain scenes in the episode where Geordi's just playing his little fiddle, like, ding, ding, ding. He's actually loving it. As far as Geordi's concerned, he might as well just be like, did I like fall asleep and wake up in the holodeck? This is fun. You know, like,
yeah, he's like trying to get in character.
Another really good moment where, Geordi's like plucking at the little like lyre that he got, and he's smiling. He's not playing anything, but he's just kind of like hanging out.
The subtitles for that says bad music playing.
Hey, he's, and then Worf, so pissed, comes over, grabs the lyre.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.
But
sorry.
It's just like, it's so interesting. And later,
like,
on, Geordi's really into the sword play later at the end when they rescued Vosh. He's just like, ha ha. Like,
Geordi's having the best time in this, of everyone.
Yeah.
In this,
they're all into it at the end when they're doing like the grand reveal where, you know, they're in the monk outfits. Like, you can tell they're like stoked. Like, this is badass.
Let's do it. Yeah. Picard is the only one because the whole thing is set up. Q comes out as the sheriff of Nottingham and gives the whole, like, well, if you don't save Marion, her head's gonna get cut off. Ooh. And so Picard is the one person who's just like, how dare you? I would save any innocent Q. This is not about being horny at all.
But I will save her.
But I will go save her. And everyone.
And this is when the love triangle kind of comes in. I think this is kind of a love triangle because Q, more or less kind of falls for Vosh because she shows herself, as he says, to be duplicitous and to lie when she needs to. And this, honestly, Q looks like he's kind of getting turned on by Vosh. Like, I like this one.
I read it more as a, like, game-recognized game kind of thing.
Same. Yeah,
where
yeah.
He sees her being, like, so underhanded, and he's like, nice. Hey,
I
didn't realize Picard had, like, good taste.
I don't think Q cares about, like, sex with
humans. I guess more of what I was getting at was, I think Jackie described it better, more just, like, game-recognizing game, just be like, hey, right.
I think because
your style.
Because he finds Picard, like, so, you know, moral and human in that way, he's, like, so pleasantly surprised that the woman that Picard has a thing with is, like, this con woman, you know, and he's just like, wow, I didn't realize.
Intrigue.
Okay, all right. But that's what it's like. The title of Cupid itself feels not quite correct because he's not really trying to get them together. He's just trying to like exploit what he sees as a weakness of Picard, but at the end he's you know, just having fun himself.
I think, you know what, I'm gonna backtrack what I said a little bit. He's definitely not in Devage at all. He is in love with Picard. Yeah. Q is clearly in love with Picard. He's obsessed with Picard.
He
is obsessed with Picard.
And that's why when he sees that Picard is interested in Vaj, who shows these traits that Q also has, he's just like, maybe I have a chance.
Exactly. Well, not to skip to the end, but when Picard is saying, like, Q is like underhanded and immoral and terrible and blah, blah, blah. And Vaj says, like, remind you of someone you know. Like, the text itself is linking Vaj and Q as like much the same. Picard is into Vaj, you know.
Why are you not into me, Picard?
A equals B, B equals C. Like, and Q explicitly wants to watch them make out. So, like, anyway, not to skip to the end, but.
Yeah, I didn't have too much. I mean, that's kind of all the notes I had. Again, I just, my favorite part.
It is a silly, lighthearted episode.
There's not like a whole, I mean, this isn't like the Measure of a Man episode we did when there's like all these moral, ethical questions. This is more just like, and it's fun. We're just having a Robin Hood adventure and they're going to save Vaj and, you know, then they're going to make out and then she's going to go on a safari, it looks like, with Q, like 2 billion years ago in Tagus.
There's an interesting level of trust with Q where I feel like although they are seemingly at death's door a lot in this episode, I feel like you get the feeling that Q would like stop this if they were about to die.
Yeah.
At least I did.
Yeah, that's the whole question with Q of like, would you save these people for maybe not like reasons of like affection or allyship or whatever, but because like, well, if Picard dies, and then I won't be able to check in and mess with him anymore. And it comes down to a lot of, like, you know, again, the, like, omnipotent trickster, you know, wants to keep his various playthings in place. But it is also, like, sigh, Picard, you and your friends are all safe, so, like, don't get mad.
Yeah, I never get like that. Like I said, from the first two seasons, he's portrayed to be, you know, a straight antagonist, and then from season three on, he's more of a lovable trickster. I feel like the real threat with Q from season three on is like other people potentially dying as a result of his actions. Not necessarily the bridge crew; they're all safe because if one of them dies, it'll make Picard sad, and you know, Q doesn't want to make Picard sad.
He loves do that.
Picard. So, but I feel like it's usually just like Q being irresponsible and letting other people die, and that's sort of the quandary of the episode.
It's not that he has the morals to be like, well, I don't want X, Y, and Z person or creature to die. It's that like, I don't really give a shit about most things, but I guess I'll hold off on, you know, doing my usual shit while I'm hanging out with you guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just got to shout out again, like, how hot Picard looks in the Robin Hood getup. That one, too, is pretty
even with
low
the facial
cut.
Hair.
With the fake mustache.
Unfortunately,
ooh,
the goatee is doing it.
Wow.
I don't know if it's one that, I mean, I think Patrick Stewart is hot. Two, that I think a lot of people of my generation feel a certain way about Robin Hood specifically because of the animated Disney Robin Hood where he is a fox and he's really hot. So,
well, hold on, who's hotter, Robin Fox Robin Hood or Jean-Luc Picard Robin Hood?
I mean, don't make me choose.
I thought you were going to say, don't make me say Fox.
Don't make me say the cartoon Fox. Well, and that was about personality, because Picard as Robin Hood is still Picard, but the Fox is just so, he's having a good time.
You're making me want to watch that old Robin Hood.
It's from that like Disney broke as shit era, but it has so much personality to it. Like it's a fun one. But anyway, Picard.
I like Picard as Robin Hood when he's like sneaking into her sneaking into the chamber.
Yeah, he's like grunting, up alone. Trying to get in the window.
He's like
kind of fumbling a little bit here. Like,
yeah. He is. Well, you first see him like kind of like poking up from the window. Yeah. And she's like, "You just came here by yourself?" I was like, "Yes, it's a good plan if you just hurry up. Come on.
This is where he gets to become a little bit Han Solo-ish, I feel. I feel like he was channeling a Han Solo in this moment. Like, "Do you have a better plan?"
Yeah. It's less about, obviously it's about him, cutting loose a little bit and learning how to mix business with pleasure in a way that Picard at the beginning of the episode was like clearly against.
Well, because I said earlier, unlike Geordi, who's just having the time of his life, Picard is just like, "God damn it, Q, I was about to deliver a badass speech. It was great. Everyone was enraptured with my speech, and then you fucked it up."
For weeks.
I think Worf and Picard are like the only two who have like, the only real appropriate response to what's happening. They're like, "God damn it." It's just like, yeah. And again, at this point, like, Q has become trickster Q. So they're just sort of like, "How long is this going to take to get through? What hoops we got to jump through to get through this little adventure?"
Yeah. When Q shows up in the Robin Hood scenario for the first time, he's like, "Yeah, you guys can just like hang around and like sit down for a while." The Maid Marian thing is also going on, but like, you don't have to do that. You can just hang out.
You can do some side quests.
I don't care.
You,
Which again, Geordi seems totally down to do.
Geordi's like, "I can do level side quests."
And then Troy shooting arrows into Data.
It's for my money. Like, exactly what I want from the silly side of Star Trek. Yeah.
It's like straight comedy. Like, when she's like, sure, she launches the bow and you see the tree and you hear the thwack.
You hear the thunk and then Data!
Data! Just standing there with
the arrow. He just got hit by an arrow. It's good.
What's wild about this, considering that Data is there, if they really wanted to, Data could just go in, storm the castle, pick guys up and throw them across the room and just, if Picard really cared, he'd be like, "Data, go fetch Vosh.
Data, you do
so
it.
So we can get out of this stupid Robin Hood scenario. So I can get back to my lecture." Like, if he really wanted to, he could have just ordered Data to go in there and just literally just... And he does. Like, at one point, to create a distraction, Data goes beep, boop, beep on his
wrist.
Yeah,
Data just plucks something out of his arm circuits and, like, throws it into a fire.
And it makes, like, a little explosion and causes a distraction. I'm just like, Data probably could have fashioned with that old technology, like, some sort of phaser weapon. I wouldn't be surprised. Or, like, a musket or who knows what.
Nah, but that's easily... not Picard style.
Exactly. And it also, it wouldn't make for a good episode, obviously.
Yeah,
that's true. Obviously. But like, if I were Captain, I'd be like, "All right, Data." Like, honestly, there'd be so many scenarios where if I were Captain, I would send Data in just to wreck the place and get out. Because Data, he's one of those characters where he's just like, he could just go in and more or less do anything. He's like,
Wow,
he's
we got
awesome
a
android.
Bruce Maddox over here wants to Data into whatever danger.
I'm just saying, if he really cared about, well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe that just speaks to Picard, where he's like, "No, I have to save her." You know what I mean? I have the relationship.
He
considers
this.
His mess, his feelings, he's got to deal with it. That's and that's classic Picard. He's not going to put his crew in the way of his own problems. That's just like that he couldn't do that.
Yeah,
but
whereas
of course
Picard,
they love him. They're going to come through and save him.
Data, you
if I were
it.
Picard, I'd be like, "Android, go get her."
Yeah, Android scum.
I can't be late to my lecture. This looks bad. My entire crew turned into Robin Hood. This looks so bad for me.
Everyone is going to think so badly to the Enterprise. Oh, I wanted to. So when the rest of them show up, they save Picard and Vosh from being beheaded. It caused the explosion, then all the swashbuckling starts going down, which is very, very fun. And Picard has his whole fight scene that reminded me that it's that's part of Picard's backstory, right? From his wild and crazy youth. He was a fencer. Is that...
Oh, that's right.
That's part of it. And that's... So he's, like, having a ball when he gets into it.
He straight up kills a guy.
Well, but he... from that scene, before he, like, pushes the guy off the building or whatever...
He stabs him through, like... There's, like, blood on his sword.
Well, he says, like... God, I can't even remember the line because in my mind it's always... He says, like, "There's something you don't know." And I always think he's about to say, "I am not left-handed, Princess Bride style." Mm. But then he says something else and it's just like, Oh no! I get.
What does he say? He said,
"I'm not from Nottingham."
Oh yeah, I'm not from Nottingham. I always think one-liners. He's gonna do a Neil Montoya like. Just kidding. Time for even more sword fighting. But they gotta end the episode. So
it's nice that Picard like eventually loosens up and is able to get in some one-liners. You know,
he gets to have some fun with it.
He does. Yeah. So in a way, Q's plan worked. Just fine. He gets to have the one-liners and then break into the room and triumphantly he and Vash kiss. And it's like, yeah, you got a fun, horny adventure. Just like,
but the big downside is, so he warps them back and they're back in the conference and like everyone's gone. The conference is over.
It makes you wonder like what happened. Like
exactly. How long did they wait around
for like, I guess they're not coming back. I guess we should just leave.
Well, I guess the conference was a bust.
Why did he change in that costume and then disappear? I don't, like, I
guess we're never inviting Picard again.
That was embarrassing.
Well, did you guys have any other thoughts on Cupid?
I just want the Vash and Q adventures where they like...
In their safari outfits.
Their safari outfits. They go to planets. They do all kinds of shady shit together.
I wouldn't be surprised if he just turned her into a Q at some point.
Yeah, he's like, anyway, wanna join? Cool.
You can join the continuum.
You wanna join the continuum? Vash comes back, guys. She's cool. She's cool. She's with me.
Yeah, that'd be great to have like Vash come back as a Q.
That's shown that he can do that in season two, or actually might have been season one. He turns Riker into a straight up Q.
Right.
Oh, I forgot.
So
about
that's
that.
Not on. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, that's right. Riker becomes a Q, and he immediately like just becomes awful.
Yeah. Well, would you guys recommend Cupid?
Strongly. Absolutely. I like this one a lot. It was fun. It was like lighthearted, but it was good. I think. At this point, the show knows what the characters are, and I feel like a lot of it is like having fun with those characters in funny situations.
It's like the humor comes from the fact, that like, as we said, Picard is so put out to be in this situation and all of that from it. But I absolutely recommend. Like I said, I know that for some more, you know, maybe stuffy Star Trek fans.
Where's the moral quandary?
This is a little too fluffy, but as I said, for my money, for a silly, you know, dress-up Star Trek episode, this is gold.
Felt like a TOS episode, for sure. Like a good TOS.
Well, I would also recommend this for the same reasons. I think it's a good representation of the more lighter side of Next Generation. But I'm glad you mentioned the more serious, like, oh, what's the message of this episode? Because that is basically all my next pick is serious message episode.
Perfect.
When we return for the Trek cast, we will be discussing Season 5, Episode 2, Darmok.
Darmok.
Which is probably one of the more classic Next Generation episodes. It's one of my favorite Next Generation episodes.
Darmok.
I think this episode represents the best of Star Trek, and as far as like, you know, having a message and
moral quandary.
Temba, his arms wide.
Maybe a moral quandary, but more just like the idea of like communication and. Yeah. You know, not just being so closed-minded. Like, I think it represents the best traits of Star Trek.
Yeah, we will, I'm sure, get into it. But that is a very good choice. Yeah, for the in much the ways this episode is a distillation of the silliest side of Star Trek. I think Darmok is a distillation of some of the best serious.
Exactly. But not so much where it's just like this feels like a downer. Like it's
a fun episode.
It's a good lift your spirits episode. Until next time, folks, the Trek cast will return. Live long and prosper.
is he?
Not at the moment.
I was wondering, I would love to see some more of this marvelous ship.
I would be delighted to show it to you. That is, if it's all right with you, Jean-Luc.
Of course.
Don't worry, I promise to behave myself.